Lord, as Tony comes now to bring your word, Lord, may our hearts be open this Christmas Eve to what you would have to say to each one of us, Lord, no matter where we are in our journey, as you speak through them tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, guys. Well, it's my privilege to bring tonight the Word of God and have a look at a passage Maggie and Sandra read two out of other Gospels, and this is a very short passage out of Luke 2 I'd like to read to you. Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. You'll be familiar with the words, but I'll read them to you when I find them here. Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you as we turn to your word this morning for this very central aspect and this very central message. In fact, the very centre of the Bible, it's around you and starts at Christmas. We thank you for this time of celebration and for the very reason why indeed it is joy to the world. Thank you, Father. Amen. You've been around here the last couple of weeks. I've been on a little bit on the theme of joy, talking about how, etc. But tonight I want to look about why. Why is it joy to the world? And it's answered here in verse 11. It says, "For there is born to you this day a Saviour, who is Christ the King." Now, if you're saved here tonight, have been saved, if Jesus is your Lord and Saviour, you will know a sense of that great joy. And many of us, that's the case. And tonight I want to talk about three aspects of why the Saviour brings joy. Firstly, I'm going to look at the start of the Old Testament. Secondly, a little passage in the middle, or the later part of the Old Testament. And lastly, in the New Testament. It's very easy to find passages that speak about the Saviour and why the Saviour is the cause for great joy. Because, of course, the whole Bible leads to this point, and not so much leads away from it, but indicates as a result of the joy of the Saviour coming, just what it means for all of mankind. So I want to speak about three aspects tonight of the Saviour. Firstly, the shield. Secondly, the sign. And lastly, the Saviour himself. And the first verse I want to read is at the start of the Old Testament, or getting to the start of the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel. And it says there in 2 Samuel 22:3, it says, "The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Saviour, you save me from violence." Now, those of you who are even a little bit of Bible scholars will know this is well before the Saviour appeared. And this is a prophetic word that speaks about what it is that the Saviour will do when he comes. And I'm thinking about this word shield, particularly the importance of that. This was written at a time when the Old Testament kings were coming to battle, and each one wore a shield, which is a little buckler. It's another name for it. It was a little shield that they're able to hide behind, but some of the shields were rather large, and you could get right down behind. It would save you from attack. A more modern-day example of that might be these blessed things, as for want of a better word, called a weather shield. Some of you remember, a bit old school now, but the shields that used to sit over your window, and if you left your window down when it rained, it didn't matter because the weather shield kept the rain out. If you're driving along, it was too windy, the weather shield would keep the wind out, etc. Just a bit of an old school thing. Some reason, bought a car recently, quite a new car or a newish car, and it's got a weather shield on it, which I never see. And I always walk into it. So a few gouges in the head every time I think, what is this weather shield doing? And then one day I left the windows down and it rained and I understood the reason for it. A shield is something that gets in the way, something you have to carry with you or you have to consciously take with you. It's something that you choose to pick up. And the two aspects I want to speak about the shield tonight is something that you have to pick up and get behind. But firstly, you have to recognize that it's there. Now, my head will attest to the fact that I haven't recognised I've got a weather shield on this car that I bought because it's very unusual. They're a bit of an old school thing, but for some reason they're on mine. It's not something I instinctively see. And every time I bump into it, I know it's there and I'm pleased it's there. But it's something that I don't instinctively see. But somebody made a choice, maybe outside of, well, I certainly didn't. It said that this is a shield that I need to put on for this purpose. So picking up a shield or using a shield is something that involves a choice. It's the first thing I want to say tonight. Understanding Jesus as Saviour in this prophetic word of him being a shield is something that we can choose or not to pick up and get behind. Because the second aspect of a shield, it's pointless picking it up or having it unless you get behind it, unless you use it for the times that you need to be shielded. The Saviour, and it says in Luke 2, the verse I read, the Saviour is Jesus Christ the Lord. And because he's not just Saviour, but also Lord of our lives, it's something that we choose to get behind as a shield for times of temptation, times of trouble, times of trial, all the things that he knew were going to happen to us in our normal human lives. But once again, it's a choice that starts first and foremost. We firstly have to recognise the shield for what it is, and secondly, we have to get behind it. So leading further in the Bible to the prophetic words in Isaiah, which is leading through near to the end of the Old Testament. And things had gone from a time of action of kings, where the kings had gone to battle, and many times while they had won, the nation of Israel had degenerated into a place that was severely being overrun by others. They had forgotten their God. And Isaiah the prophet came along at that time and was speaking. Much of what he said was ignored. He died a very gruesome death, as those who said we're finally going to shut him up by taking him out. Sorry, not a very pleasant part of the Christmas message, but I'll get there shortly. But Isaiah was taken out because the words that he had to say were a sign pointing people. And it says here in Isaiah 19, what's the verse there, Cam? We'll just bring that one up there. Wonderful. 1920, sorry. I was looking out a little further. Isaiah 19:20 says, and it will be a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a saviour and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. You may remember the children of Israel were delivered out of Israel, and the sign that was given to them that there would be a saviour who would ultimately deliver them from a place of sin and a place of temptation, a place where their destiny was going to be apart from God. So the sign that's given here in Isaiah is speaking to a whole nation of people that the Saviour is coming, and he is coming soon. But the thing we understand about a sign is we have to recognise it and we have to follow it. Many times we've had signs that we may have ignored. If you are driving, which I do, some of my old jalopies, and I hear a noise that comes from the diff particularly, it seems to be diffs are the thing at the moment, I sometimes choose to ignore them because I think I know better. Depending on how far I need to go or how much I need to carry or otherwise, it may be a sign that something needs to be done, but I might choose to ignore that and normally at my peril. The sign of the Saviour, which is what Isaiah is speaking about here, is the same sign that was given to the people of the Old Testament, that understanding they were delivered, as it were, from a place to another place. And the sign that was given was the Saviour will come at some stage in the future and do that. Some years ago, we were heading to a camp and we had a choice of taking a shortcut through a river. And I was told there was two fords in the river. One of them, I was told, had a very soft bottom and one had a very hard bottom. I only had an old Falcon wagon and it's not four-wheel drive, and I couldn't remember which one it was. And I believe that the particular ford I went through, it's on a little river up near Glenroy, and seemingly all the locals know one has a very hard, sort of stony bottom, and the other one has a hard, muddy bottom. Well, guess which one we went through, and I was sure that I had taken the right sign. But I found myself in the middle of the river with a whole lot of people completely stuck. And as it happens, it was enough people. We got out and we pushed it through. And I contacted the person later on and said, I'm sure you said the northernmost crossing or ford was okay. And he said, no, it's the southernmost one. And I was pretty sure that I had that right because I'd been through before. And one of the things about signs is that we have to understand not only what they are, but remember them and follow the instructions that are given. And the sign that is given tonight about the Saviour being born is he is someone to follow, and he is someone in the direction that the sign is pointing to. But unless a sign is responded to, unless a sign is listened, then it sits there, sometimes virtually ignored. So the first point is shield. We need to recognise it's there and get behind it. And secondly, the thing about a sign, it's a choice. Firstly, do we recognise it? Do we want to listen to the people that are telling us the sign, if they're referring to the messages in the Bible of the Saviour? And secondly, do we follow it? Once again, it's a choice for each one of us tonight. And lastly, moving to the story of just what the Saviour and salvation is. In the New Testament, we see here a summary. And it's at the end of 1 Peter, at the end of the Bible at 1 Peter. It says here, and we'll bring up the verse again. Thanks, Cam. In 2 Timothy 1:10. And it says here, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to each one to light through the gospel. So the third thing I want to talk about the Saviour is not so much about the indirect things of a shield or a sign, but the direct thing of him himself. For us indeed, for us to accept the Saviour is to know him. Jesus Christ is a Saviour who wants to be known as a result of the situation, the relationship he wants to have with us. He desires first to be laid before him all those things that we think are how we want to live our lives. Because all of us have sinned and gone our own way. And we say, many of us, I'm doing okay and I'm doing all right. And that may well be the situation as far as we know it. But the Saviour Jesus came because in the desperate situation that he came to then and now, it is a sign for us to consider and consider responding to. Because the Saviour that's mentioned here, who brings abolished death and brings life and immortality, is a Saviour that is Christ the Lord. And the Saviour is someone who is to be known and is to be accepted. And tonight you may have come here and it may not be something that you have considered before. The shield is an aspect of the Saviour you have not even known of, let alone got behind. The sign is something you may not have heard, let alone followed and considered. And the Saviour is not necessarily someone that you have considered following. And for us that have come here tonight that know the message and the very pivot, the very central point of the gospel and of the Bible is to continue to tell this message to those who don't believe and encourage those that do. And there's a summary, I guess, of tonight that's in Jeremiah that may apply to some of us here. And forgive me if I'm being a bit too direct, but it says here in Jeremiah 14, verse 8, it says, "Oh, the hope of Israel," talking about Jesus, his Saviour in the time of trouble. "Why should you," talking to those of us here, "be a stranger in the land and like a traveller who turns aside to tarry for the night?" One of the wonderful things about Christmas Eve services is that we get to see family and friends and those that have come from afar. And one of the other wonderful opportunities is those who may not normally come at all to church. And it's a bit of a challenge, if I'm honest, I'll just be a bit vulnerable here with you all about how far and what to say necessarily. But there's a challenge and encouragement that to speak to each one of us here, and it's to you and not to me. I have chosen to follow Jesus, but there may be some here tonight. And it refers to us as a wandering man. One of the YouTube clips I follow is this strange, I don't know how I ended up watching it. It's a guy that travels around called the Wandering Man in south of Texas, and he goes around all these little abandoned towns. And he takes photos and says, "Hey, look at this town. It used to have its heyday in the 30s, and this is what's happening now." And as he wanders around, he takes various shots of various places. And I was watching one a couple of days ago, and he went to a small town, the name that... It slips me, I can't remember the name of the town. But as he goes to town, he goes past an old church and he said, "Jesus saves." And he says, "Yeah, good to know." And that's his total response that he has to make to that. And the wandering man is someone who basically says that. "It's good to know. I'll consider that. I'll drop in from time to time. I might tarry, as it were, for a night." And here we have this night of Christmas Eve, and you may have come here, wandering man or wandering woman. I'm not saying that in a negative way, but that's the reality. And you've come aside to tarry for the night. And the question is, why is it for the night? Don't just make it for the night. Consider the shield. Consider the aspect of the gospel, the Saviour who comes as a shield that wants us to get behind him for protection for what God has, for what is in store. Consider the sign that's given to us of a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And consider the Saviour who is the one who will stand in place of our sin if we so choose. For the reality is that all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And because of that barrier of sin that sits between man and God, the Saviour needed to come. There's nothing that we can do to earn our own salvation. I find this very much goes against the culture of the age, and I see this time and time again where folks say, "Look at what I have done. I am indeed, by virtue of the work of my hands, the master of my own and my family's destination." The encouragement at this time of Christmas is to understand the very pivot of history. The Christ child, the Saviour, who is Jesus the Lord, was born at this time, and history starts from that time, at least modern history. We understand the very time of our calendar is set from the time of his birth. And if we look back and consider that sacrifice or that journey that began 2,022 years ago or thereabouts, followed by a sacrifice 30-odd years later when we see Jesus dying on the cross. So I want to encourage you tonight and consider that you've come from afar. Many have come from far visiting. It's great to have people literally here from all across the world. It's wonderful to have those who are here, who meet with family, who really know the Lord Jesus. But if you're here tonight and you don't, I want to encourage you, consider, are you behind that shield? Is this a sign that you have acknowledged? Do you know Jesus as Saviour? Have you asked for forgiveness of sin? Is it something that you have considered? Is it a response that you have made to put your trust in the very pivot of history, the Saviour who is Christ the Lord? We're going to finish shortly, and when we do that, we're going to have a wonderful time of supper and fellowship, and to take nothing away from the celebration and the joy of Christmas. I want you just to pause and just consider while the last song is being played, do I need to make a response tonight? Is there someone I should talk to, maybe the person you've come with, who's invited you, could explore more the questions of whether I have indeed picked up that shield. I have indeed listened and walked in the direction of the sign, and I've taken Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Well, please feel free to search me out or some of the leaders here to do that as well. I just want to encourage us that we don't leave here unless we've responded positively to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that the whole sweep of history we see here, that it all points to you as Saviour. And if we so choose, we can enter into the joy of Christmas. Maybe for some of us, tomorrow will be the first Christmas, if we respond to you tonight, where Jesus is Lord and Saviour. The little baby that we celebrate now grew in wisdom and stature and ended up being sacrificed on the cross for each one of our sins, once and for all. We thank you for the building excitement that we as believers can clearly say we understand why it is joy to the world. And we understand why that is, for the Saviour has been born, who is Christ the Lord. Father, pray that we won't leave here tonight before we respond to that. We thank you for all of the wonderful time of celebration we'll have with family and friends tomorrow and all that's going on. And we thank you, Lord and Jesus, that you looked down and said, this is a world, this is my handiwork, I love them so much. And I desire to save them. And to do that, you sent your only Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of you this Christmas. Amen.